This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, it's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Thrilled to be joined by Aaron Murray, of course, ESPN and SiriusXM college football analyst. You can find Aaron, a four-year starter over at Georgia NFL. You can find Aaron on Twitter at AaronMurray11. And as we say hi to Aaron, speaking of Twitter, it's got a great feed, and I love what you did here when talking about the hi, Aaron. Nice to talk to you. I love what you did here with your Snaps podcast and everything, talking about the SEC quarterback list. So let's start there. If you told me that Jaden Daniels, when I saw him at Arizona State, was going to be the best quarterback in the SEC one day, I would have called you a liar, but here we are. He's number one on your list.
Yeah, well, first off, happy afternoon to you guys as well. And it just shows you two things. One, how much he has progressed. And I was fortunate enough to cover their spring game a few months back and get to see him practice and get to see him play in the game and just see how much he's improved as a passer. We all know he's a dynamic runner, but throwing the football, their goals this offseason, talking with the staff, were to really put him in uncomfortable situations. You know, I remember as a quarterback, you'd kind of get this script ahead of time and you'd go through it with the coaches and you want a script for success, you know, call plays that you feel really good about and you go out there and execute against your defense and the offense looks awesome. Well, they wanted to put him in situations where he had to essentially be forced to push the ball down the field, plays that maybe he didn't feel comfortable with, where they felt like the offense could be based on the skill at the receiving position. And he just kept getting better and better and better and more comfortable. And all of a sudden, you started to see a more complete quarterback. So, you know, between the weapons, an offensive line that I think is going to be pretty darn good this year with those two freshman tackles, now sophomores, elite receivers, a great tight end, and Taylor, I think you have an opportunity to see a quarterback really dominate and have a great season. And so that's first off. Second off, obviously we lost some really good quarterbacks this past season at a number of schools. So you do see some youth in the SEC a little bit this season. Some guys that are making their first start, some guys that are only in their second year. So I think a guy that's played a lot of football, and Jaden also comes in with that experience factor that helps out as well.
Aaron, you mentioned the quarterback. You played the position at Georgia. Tell me about the invaluable asset of having an experienced quarterback. When I look in the Pac-12, I see Penix, I see Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, Cam Rising, all experienced guys who've had great success at the collegiate level. Now you look in the SEC, outside of Daniels and Jefferson, I know Leary started as well, but it seems like there's a lot of void of experience there. How much of an impact does that have on a team maybe the first month or 6 weeks of the season?
I think it's critical in situational football. You know, so third down, red zone, especially two-minute drives, end of half, end of games. And I think that's when you see youth come to show its ugly face. I think that's when you start to see issues with clock management, turnovers, finishing off a game in crunch time. All that plays a big role, especially if you're on the road and some of the most hostile environments in America. So I know these coaches are probably drilling two-minute drive over and over in fall camp and drilling third down situational football with crowd noise. All that plays a major factor in the SEC. And honestly, I mean, we keep hitting on it, but you look at this league and it is filled with a bunch of young quarterbacks or guys that are, you know, even transferred in. Guys like, you know, Payne Thorne, who were transferred in, Graham Mertz, who transferred in. So you're learning your teammates, you're learning the offense, you're learning your footwork, you're learning the timing and the communication of the offensive line. There's a lot that goes into it. And these guys aren't professionals. You know, yeah, they had spring ball, and you hope they took advantage of summer, but they got class. There is a 20-hour rule. They're not in the facility from 7 a.m. to 7 o'clock at night. So you do lose those extra reps, once again, in those situational aspects of the game that could hurt these teams down the line.
Aaron Murray joining us here, Sharp Money. We're talking SEC. We're talking quarterbacks. You've got Joe Milton dead center right there at 7 in the SEC. That's the question for Tennessee, Aaron, right? Because Heupel is great with quarterbacks. We know the arm that Milton has. What are your expectations?
I think he's a hell of a quarterback. I actually covered him a couple times last year and sitting down with the staff and even talking with Hendon Hooker about Joe Milton and listening to Hendon talk about how much he's grown as a student of the game how much he's matured as a quarterback, and then seeing him go out there and play and make the throws that he makes, especially that game versus Clemson, was like, wow, like I can see it. Is he going to be perfect? Is he going to, you know, learn to throw the ball with more touch? Hopefully a little bit more. He's not going to be he's far from perfect, but the tools are there. The weapons are there. You know, they return. You know, I knew they lose their top receiver, but you know, Squirrel White and the guy from Oregon just absolutely kicking butt, the transfer as well. They got a pretty good offensive line, and you mentioned the offense in general is very quarterback friendly. I think it's an opportunity to you know, put up monster stats, but you know, part of that is being a part of that offense. That offense dictates and gives you the ability to take advantage of defenses, to use the entire width of the field, to push the ball vertically down the field. So I think year three in the system for him, once again, what he did learning last year, the past 2 years from Hendon Hooker, maturing as a quarterback, knowing the system a little bit more, I'm super excited about him, man. I'm really high. I think he could jump easily into the top two, top three quarterbacks in the SEC if we do see, you know, massive improvements when it comes to just being able to layer the ball down the field instead of just, you know, essentially using a howitzer every time he throws the football.
Aaron, when you look in the SEC East, which team outside of Georgia could be the one that, if, let's say, Beck and Vandergriff are not the guys and things went sideways, but which team could potentially be a challenger at least or emerge from that division outside of Georgia?
Well, obviously Tennessee, and in Tennessee, it's in Knoxville, end of the season, so that's going to be always a challenge going up there. I like Kentucky, though. I do. I mean, Coach Stoops is a hell of a coach, Mark Stoops there, and kind of the program he's built. And you go back, and I was watching some film this week of Devin Leary from a couple of years ago at NC State, and, you know, on my ranking list, I have him, I think, at three, and I just really love his game. I love just the rhythm in which he plays. I love the arm strength, the anticipation, the accuracy. Obviously, injuries and some issues with guys around him last year really hurt his ability to duplicate that season once again. But you look at Kentucky, and they return a pretty darn good receiving core. They did a great job going into the portal, getting a running back. The offensive line has to be better, you know, from what they were last year. I mean, it was abysmal watching them try to protect Will Levis. But you know the way that they've been able to produce offensive lines in years past. You know, I kind of have faith that Stoops will get that unit right. So I do think Kentucky's a team that if you do see Leary get back to what he was doing and what he's capable of doing from 2 years ago, you know, they could surprise some teams and possibly sneak a win in here or there where you're not anticipating they do so.
ESPN SiriusXM, Aaron Murray joins us, college football analyst, does a great job. So I went to South Carolina. I'm selfishly asking you about the team and Spencer Rattler. Aaron, he didn't have an offensive line last year. He was running for his life. I was impressed with what he came up with. They were surprised he returned and happy he returned. Where are you on Rattler, the quarterback, and South Carolina, the team?
Yeah, I mean, you saw a quarterback mature a lot last season, and I had them like the fourth or fifth week of the season, and I remember sitting down with Beamer and even Rattler talking about just the differences. I mean, you talk about going from an offense under Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma to then going to the offense at South Carolina. It was essentially learning a new language. I mean, completely different from the footwork to the terminology. And you can kind of see that, like the first, I would say, maybe even half of the season, just his feet were off, his eyes were off, he was late on his reads, and then he was forcing the ball. You know, a lot of times he also didn't have great help from the receivers. They had some drop issues towards the middle of the season. But then all of a sudden, towards the end of the season, you start to see him get the rhythm. His feet were in sync with his eyes. He was throwing the ball with more anticipation. He was getting the ball out on time. So you saw that progress, and I know they're getting a new OC this year, but you know, talking with Beamer at SEC Media Days, the terminology is going to stay the same. The concepts are going to stay the same. You know, they really want to make it so he didn't have to, once again, learn a new offense and everything that goes along with that. So I do think you'll see a quarterback who is more comfortable in the system, more comfortable with his teammates. You know, it does hurt that he loses his running back. It hurts that he loses, you know, Jaheim Bell to Florida State. But, you know, they got some weapons. I know they're excited about that five-star recruit that's a freakish athlete. But I think he's ready to have a monster season. There's no question in most people's minds in the SEC that Rattler has everything that you want as a quarterback. It's just quarterbacking 101. If your feet are off and your eyes are off, unless you're Aaron Rodgers, man, it is hard. It is super, super hard to then save yourself and be able to make plays in this league.
Aaron, we got about a minute. How much of an impact does Bobby Petrino have on Connor Wegman and the A&M offense?
Hopefully, you know, better than 21 points per game like they had last year. You look at the skill on that offense, and I love what I saw with Wegman towards the end of the season. They got some elite receivers on the outside. Love what they're doing there with Anais and Evan Stewart. So I think you add some creativity, being able to force the defense to communicate, just evolve the offense, man. It's hard to evolve, you know, as a head coach. If you're a play caller, too, there's just not enough hours in the day. Only a few guys can do that. So I'm happy Jimbo's hopefully taking a step back and let this offense evolve. But Wegman has a lot of talent. He's got a lot of talent around him. I'm hoping this A&M team, you know, improves by at least maybe even a touchdown points per game this year. I think they're capable of doing that.
Check out Aaron Murray, ESPN, SiriusXM, college football analyst. You can see him on Twitter as well, at AaronMurray11. You want to check out that list. SEC quarterbacks, and also check out the podcast, Snaps Podcast. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great one.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, buddy. Yeah, Graham Mertz at the bottom of the SEC quarterback list.
I would not.
Graham Mertz.
No, I would not have had him 14th.
Here he goes. I'll play your game. Where would you have had him?
Probably 28th.
Yeah, if you didn't see that coming, you just haven't been paying attention. I mean, I don't know.
Telegraphed like Graham Mertz pass. I mean,
that's exactly right.
It's like
there you
Babe
go. Ruth pointing to right center.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
The NFL preseason. You got a preseason game tonight. The VSiN experts are busy evaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide is due out later this month and will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, also how to use VSiN's betting splits and football contest strategies. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide. You can get the copy of the guide. It's already out. Or take advantage of our football season special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $199. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. Okay, we got you back. A little respite. We've got another guest coming up. Let me go ahead and give him a plug here, as Chip Brown's going to join in about 14 minutes. Horns 24/7 Texas Insider, 102.7 ESPN in Austin. So looking forward to talking to him. Speaking of Austin, a former coach there, fellas. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. Hope you're having a nice Thursday. Feels like the week is going by quickly, boys. It's a good job by both of you. Because if it wasn't a good job by you, it would make my week seem like it's going by very slowly. So I feel like you guys are killing it. Tom Herman. Let's talk about Tom Herman at FAU. Amal, I'm going to give you a theory. I think Tom Herman was a little overrated at Houston and probably a little underrated with what he did at Texas. Is that fair?
I would agree with you. I think, you know, Houston, they go 22-4 in two seasons, have a great run. And then at Texas, he goes 32-18. Where he did go 7-6 his first year, 10-4, 8-5, 7-3. Wasn't bad. By the way, he won all four bowl games. I mean, I don't disagree with any of what you said there. I think the expectations at Texas do not match what they actually produce on the field.
And here's the best news for Tom Herman. He gets to replace Willie freaking Taggart.
That's a dream.
I mean, Willie couldn't coach himself out of a paper bag. He is honestly how he kept on. He flipped Oregon, a basic year at Oregon. And I understand he's a Florida guy. I mean, he was, look, I understand it was about recruiting at Florida State. If you read what purportedly went down at that university and that program when Willie Taggart was involved, like disaster, and just the on the field product was so undisciplined, but Taggart got FAU. And of course, Taggart didn't do well. Now, prior to Taggart, wasn't it Lane Kiffin, boys?
Lane Train, yeah.
And he had two 11 win seasons at FAU in three seasons. So you can win there. And we know that Boca Raton is a nice place to live. It's a huge campus. I would imagine the Big guy, I would imagine the scenery is nice at Boca. You feel me?
Oh, basketball I agree.
Team, basketball team just made a Final Four. And I'm going to tell you something about this FAU team. Regular season win total at DraftKings is 7.5 for good reason. This team is returning a ton of talent. And Herman's brought in some good transfers. Just return a loaded team with talent. Let's get a start here. FAU, Amal.
I just got to stay on Willie Taggart for 1 second. This guy Buster. Had five different coaching jobs in a 12-year span, or excuse me, a 13-year span, and he was under 500 at four of the schools.
Here's what Dustin's going to do, a thing where he somehow ties him back to Valdosta State and says, you guys are wrong about Willie Taggart, because that's what he always does to us. But my assumption is even you can't stand up for Willie Taggart. And just so we know, I'm an equal opportunist. We crushed Steve Sarkisian as well. Those two shouldn't have jobs.
I was a big Willie Taggart guy, especially the 10-2 year at USF with BJ Daniels as the quarterback. Like, he used that as a jumping board to get a bunch of big jobs. But I thought Oregon, he was misplaced. I thought Florida State made perfect sense for him. I cannot believe how bad he was at Florida State. And now he's like a guy that's borderline unhirable, like as a head coach. You want him as a coordinator, that's fine. But he's proven over time that it was a fluke when he won 10 games with the Bulls.
Patrick, real quick, Brent Musburger and I were doing a show together every day when Taggart got hired at Florida State. And I said to Brent, he will not last 3 years. I said, this is one of the worst coaching hires I've ever seen. I didn't think the guy should have been at Oregon. I think he's been terrible everywhere he's been. He must be one hell of an interview, because I don't understand how he keeps getting recycled.
Oregon made two consecutive weird hires. Okay. Willie Taggart.
Yep.
Here's a good idea. A guy that's from Florida, his recruiting base is Florida. Send him to Eugene. Okay. And then they turned around another guy that's even further south from Florida, Miami, and Cristobal, send him to Eugene. I mean, they got lucky that those two donks are out of there. And Lanning, who did a good job after the Georgia game, he's 37. At least there's an upside. Cristobal, sorry to your dad, because he's a Miami alum, Dustin. Like, if Mario Cristobal is my head coach, I'm bummed.
In fairness,
that's all I'm going to tell you.
In fairness, though, Oregon also had hired Mark Helfrich, who was like born and raised Oregon legend, and that didn't go well either.
I don't know if I'd use the term legend, but okay.
As a player.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a prolific career as a player in Oregon.
I feel a fight coming on.
He's parsing nonsense.
I feel a parsing fight coming on.
I let it go because I, you know what? I thought you brought up a great point to start this segment, which was Tom Herman is a good coach in certain situations, and I think he's a guy that's going to do very well with this offense, and Casey Thompson back. I don't want to rip him on Helfrich.
Just to interrupt for a second, I just wrote down overrated Houston, underrated Texas, and I didn't even look up his record. I guess what my point was, just the feel I get from Herman as a human and as a coach, he's probably not good enough to be at Texas. You know, Houston, he's probably a little overrated for what he did there. So he's somewhere in the middle. FAU is probably a good landing spot for Tom Herman.
Completely. By the way, the reason why Helfrich was not a good player at Oregon, because he never played there.
No, the somebody state
Googled,
of Oregon.
Somebody Googled during my talk.
The state of Oregon. He was in their backyard. He didn't play.
Play the tape back. You never said state of Oregon. I'm very precise on the verbiage.
Is this Sharp Money or Big Bang Theory? I didn't know it was working with Jim Parsons.
I don't get it.
Because he parses everything. I did not say he went to Oregon.
By the way, if I get him a little bit more fired up, he might have an aneurysm.
No, he is. Well, here's the thing. When I did my little stupid Herman rant, I saw them all go to Google. And that's never going to end well. Because Google leads to parsing. Then Dustin is freaking. Can you guys just quickly reset the argument about Helfrich, and then we'll move on. What did you say, Dustin?
My initial statement was it didn't work when they went in their own backyard to a legend in the state of Oregon in Mark Helfrich.
I will bet my salary you did not say the word state.
Oh, Wyatt, pull the audio, Wyatt.
Wyatt, pull the audio. I'm going to clarify. I don't know if you said state.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a very good listener. Despite how much I talk, you'd be shocked.
Really?
I'm a great listener.
Because your take this morning about Clayton Kershaw being 75-1, I brought it up on Monday, and you said he didn't throw enough innings this year.
I didn't, but I didn't think he'd come out and pitch this well again last night.
What? Is it me, guys? Because you guys got along in July.
It is.
It appears
you.
It's me. It's it you. Appears it's me. It's
we were fine. It's just that nobody's remembered Mark Helfrich since that debacle in Arlington when he got beat 42-20.
He's big guy. Can I say something? Mm. You better be right here, because if you're not, he's going to be insufferable. Did you say
I never,
the state?
But no. I
did not say state.
I'm pretty sure I said state at one point during it. Also, he's insinuating I said that he played at Oregon. I never said he played at Oregon. I said he was from Oregon.
You said he's an Oregon legend.
Yes, Oregon, as in the state. You know it's not just one university.
Nobody gives a damn about Southern Oregon.
The trail leading up to there.
Oh, this is a technicality. I think you both might be right, but you just softened up on saying state, so that bothers me.
I know I said it at some point. I don't know if it was the first statement or the second statement. Certainly before he rehashed it and started parsing it, I said he was from the state of Oregon. I'm jealous of everyone who died on the Oregon Trail right now. I wish I was there. Just give me dysentery right now. I will take dysentery.
Bring it up, Jim Parsons. It was pretty classic. Anyway, it's a team that's loaded. 7.5. Hold on. I lost my notes. I'm sorry.
They went 5-7 a year ago. Yeah. They're joining the AAC.
Daniel Richardson in from Central. They lost Johnson to Penn State, the quarterback. Casey Thompson Johnson's in, the Penn State recruit.
Yeah.
And then also Casey Thompson. Didn't Casey Thompson play for Herman at Texas?
He did. Yes. He started there with him. Yeah.
So who knows who they're going to start at quarterback? I think Perry left the program. They're loaded at wide receiver. Offensive line should be special, is what I'm told. Special. Three legit running backs. The offense, FAU, the offense is going to be awesome. You guys want to disagree with me there? Parse me there? Anything?
No, listen, this is a team that averaged 30 points a game last year. I think they only get better with Herman. I think they've got a legitimate shot to be a threat. And this is a team that, you mentioned it, I don't think Herman's going anywhere for a few years. This team's going to be pretty effective, whether it's this year or next year, but I think they've got a chance to really get to double digits eventually.
Stategate. It's called Stategate on Sharp Money. Did he or did he not say in the state of Oregon? By the look on your face, I'm worried you didn't.
But I never said he played at Oregon. I never saying he went to Oregon. I just said he was from Oregon.
Hey, can we book Jim Parsons on the show? Is he into fantasy? Is he into betting?
Someone else can book him because I quit.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Pretty freaking cool. Next Tuesday, August 22nd at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 on the West Coast, legendary sports bettor Billy Walters sat down with Brent Musburger for an exclusive interview, and the only place to see it is VSiN. Billy reveals his systems for betting the NFL. It's going to matter to you. Make sure you check that out. Also, share some unbelievable betting stories and gives details on Phil Mickelson's gambling, including trying to bet on an event he was playing in. Check out the two legends in the interview, Billy Walters, Brent Musburger, next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Chip Brown joins us. Horns 24/7 Texas Insider, of course. A lot of hope and a lot of hype for Texas this year. 102.7 ESPN, Austin host as well. At Chip Brown 24/7 on Twitter. We say hi to Chip. A recent headline by you, Chip, was how Steve Sarkisian has changed most as a head coach. Outside looking in, we don't think much of him as a head coach. How has he changed there at Texas?
Well, I think his whole life has become a cautionary tale that he now uses in his connection to his players. And so, you know, one player was telling me that every time he talks, he feels like he's getting a life lesson. And so I think he's more connected to his players. He said when he first got to Washington as a first-time head coach, it was all about winning and how do I squeeze everything out of a player to help me win. And, you know, I think because a lot of what happened in his own life, he now realizes there's more to life And I think he has said the more he pours into his players, you know, the more they're going to want to fight for him and for each other.
Chip, when you look at the expectations and with the product that's put on the field for Texas, are they in line this season to what everybody that's, you know, bleeds, obviously, burnt orange believes?
Well, I think Quinn Ewers is ready to take the Sarkisian second-year step. And I think he can get the ball out, and I think he's got great receivers. The offensive line struggled at times. I mean, in complete games last year, the TCU game. You know, TCU's defense was good. It wasn't that good. It wasn't hold Texas without a touchdown good. And the offensive line couldn't open any lanes for Bijan Robinson and Roshan Johnson, and those guys are gone. Now, you know, they've got one of the best left tackles in football in Kelvin Banks, but the interior of that line is going to break in a new starter. Maybe an upgrade, five-star 2022 signee, Devin Campbell, the nation's top interior offensive lineman in that recruiting cycle. So, you know, if that offensive line can open some holes in the running game, then yes, Texas is in line to compete for a conference championship and a possible college football playoff berth.
Yeah, Chip, that was a damning game. As you brought up the TCU game, they had every reason to win that game last year. They just couldn't get anything going offensively, right? It was at home, like literally prime time. The lights were perfect. Oh. The crowd was insane. That's a tough loss because they could not do anything offensively.
Nothing. And it's stunning. Like, to this day, it's stunning. First and goal from the two, Bijan Robinson doesn't get a single touch. First and goal from the five, Bijan Robinson doesn't get a single touch. And they end up with 3 points out of those two trips. And, you know, there were times where Sarkisian struggled. I think because the running game wasn't, or the offensive line wasn't totally reliable, and Sarkisian would lose faith in the running game at times. It really got him against Oklahoma State on the road when they lost a double-digit lead. They were up 31-17 and ended up losing the game because he stopped running the football when they're averaging 6.5 a carry on the first drive of the fourth quarter and 11.5 a carry on the second drive in the fourth quarter. And he keeps throwing it with Quinn Ewers. In a 20-mile-an-hour wind, Ewers slammed his finger in a car door that week. You're like, what is Sarkisian doing? You know, hand the football. Who's he listening to on the sideline? And I think, you know, he brings in Paul Chryst, the former Wisconsin head coach. Like, that happened, and I was like, okay, Sarkisian gets it. He knows that he didn't run the football well enough and you know, power, short yardage, goal line, whatever you want to talk. And he's gone and gotten a power running guru to come in as a special assistant. And I'll give Sarkisian credit for that. I mean, last year he had Gary Patterson helping with the defense. This year he's got, you know, Paul Chryst and Joe DeCamillis, a 30-year, two-time Super Bowl-winning special teams coordinator, in as a special assistant. And you're going, okay, Sarkisian's truly learned from Saban, probably has just enough of that Pete Carroll, you know, players coach working. Maybe he's the hybrid of both, the long-lost son of Nick Saban and Pete Carroll. And that's what we're going to find out this year, because this is a no-excuses year.
Chip, you mentioned some of the pieces that they have on the offensive side of the ball, but I feel like Jatavion Sanders might be their best offensive talent, and that includes Worthy, Mitchell, and, of course, Ewers as well. Are they going to make full use of this guy's talent? Because I don't know if there's anybody in the Big 12 that can match up with him.
Yeah, and Sarkisian loves him. And, you know, he caught 54 balls last year. Now, some of those were, you know, quick screens and anything to get the ball in his hands in space, because you're right. I mean, he's a matchup nightmare. He's what all those tight ends who were power forwards, you know, Tony Gonzalez, insert tight end here. But that's who Jatavion Sanders is. I mean, this guy has ball skills. I mean, he catches seam routes with, you know, two guys' hands forming a wall in front of his face, and he's a contested catch guy, he's a tough guy. And when you add A.D. Mitchell on one side of the field and Xavier Worthy on the other. Now you're clearing out the safeties for, you know, Jadavion Sanders get matched up against a linebacker, which Sarkisian will smell in a second and get the ball, you know, checked to him. So I agree with you. And I think the addition of A.D. Mitchell is enormous for J.T. Sanders because they were able to crowd him and double Xavier Worthy, and that was it. You know, I mean, there were some tough games there down the stretch. So they're not going to be able to do that this year.
Chip Brown covers Texas football. You mentioned Quinn. We haven't talked about the quarterback 6 minutes in. That's a record. Let's go, Chip. Quinn Ewers is your third betting favorite at 13-1 to win a Heisman. It's a pretty big name sitting behind him who's impressing in the spring in Arch. Let's talk about the two quarterbacks. I like Ewers. I like the arm strength. Where are you on him?
Yeah, I think I loved his accountability last year. I mean, he apologized to the Texas fans after the spring game for his performance, you know, 58% completion rate, 15 TDs, 6 picks, and, you know, he's apologizing. And so I loved that he, you know, totally changed his body. He went from 218 to 200. He's totally ripped, you know, cuts the mullet, shaves the face, and then steps up as a vocal leader, which is not a comfortable place for him, and the players are buying it. You know, you can tell when they're really believing in a guy and when they're not. And they're buying this guy. So I think he's ready to take that second year Sarkisian jump. And he's got weapons. I mean, he could very easily be in New York as a Heisman finalist. I mean, look at Mac. Look at what Sarkisian did with Mac Jones, Najee Harris. What do you have, 3 Heisman finalists in 2020? So, you know, and Sarkisian's been recruiting off of that. The players have all seen these first-round guys from Alabama, and they're watching them every Sunday. So, you know, that's what Sarkisian is selling, and that's what Quinn Ewers has to work with.
Chip, we got about a minute. What prevents Texas from winning the league this year?
Oh, you got to stay healthy. I mean, you absolutely have to stay healthy. But, no, I think it's if they can finish off teams in close games. The Sarkisian doesn't have a great record in one possession games. And so his MO is to, he's got great scripts. He typically gets off to a quick start. He usually has a nice lead at halftime. And then the history is that, you know, the defense adjusts and he doesn't adjust to their adjustments. Now, maybe he hasn't had enough weapons on offense. And he has told people close to him that he feels like he's got those weapons. So, I mean, they just have to win those close games.
Chip Brown, great job, Chip. Go read him at Horns 24/7. He's a Texas insider over there. You can hear him 102.7 ESPN in Austin, 11-1 Central at Chip Brown 24/7 on Twitter. Thank you, Chip. Have a great season.
Oh, can I? You know what? Can I? Yeah. Can I say something real quick?
Of course.
I just left 102.7. You can catch me now at Texas Sports Unfiltered on their YouTube channel and on the app.
Texas Sports Unfiltered. Go to YouTube and check out Chip. Great. Thank you, Chip. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, there he goes. And we're back. We're going to close some tabs in the top 10. The big guy's laughing. Don't laugh at me, big guy. It's your notes.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pro is and become a VSIN pro and get an all-access pass. It's about to get awkward. Get an all-access pass to our betting tools, betting splits, and the 2023 college football and NFL betting guides. Both the college football betting guide and our NFL guide will have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year. The only way to get the guides and everything we have to offer is to become a VSIN Pro subscriber, and you can do exactly that at VSIN.com/subscribe. Okay, before we get to the answer and solve the riddle that was the drama earlier on the show, I'll set it up, but let me just say this. He's Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw, I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. I would like to say that I was kind during the segment because I didn't call you both out for both just immediately after we talked about Cristobal at Oregon and we talked about Willie Taggart, you both immediately went and snap called and said Helfrich was terrible at Oregon. He wasn't. Now, whether or not you want to argue that he was once he got his own players, he had Brian Kelly's players and he lost like 3 games in 3 years. Okay, so Helfrich was fine. That's not the issue. I'm kind. I'm probably the nicest of the three of us. I let it go. The next thing that happens, and this all goes back to July, okay? When I left for the month of July, Amal and Dustin hated each other. It was real. Amal would call me after every show to tell me how much he hated Dustin. And then I'd go, oops, got another call. It's my mom. It was actually Dustin. And he would tell me how much he hated Amal. Again, the nice guy in the middle. I don't know how it happens. Next thing I know, I go away for the month of July and I come back and it's freaking Ebony and Ivory. They're getting along. They're making out on the air. Like, it's just nonstop, just kindness. All right. And I'm like, what happened here? I actually liked the rift between you two. It made my job easy. And then all of a sudden it came to a crashing halt today because we were talking about Oregon and we were talking about Mark Helfrich. Amal, I see you want to jump in quickly, but I want to finish setting it up. Go ahead.
No, I just give you your compliment. You're correct. Mark Helfrich, 37-16, started out with 11-13-9 wins at Oregon. And also, real quick, it wasn't Dustin's fault that we went sideways. I said, hey, Dustin, let's go grab some dinner sometime. And then at the last minute, I bailed on him, and he has not forgiven me for that since.
Well, I'm sure he ate. He's fine.
Looks like I might have missed a meal or two.
No, like, oh, he's fine. Trust me. I know the guy very well. He got his food in.
I don't forget.
So here's what happened, and this is how inane and dumb this show is. Next thing you know, we're talking about Mark Helfrich. And Mark Helfrich then, because if you've noticed, not me, great guy, never try to, you know, pimp too much, but Dustin likes to show off his knowledge, which is vast, and certainly Amal Shaw likes to show off his college football knowledge. So Dustin came over the top when all I was trying to do was talk about FAU football. Dustin came over the top and tried to drop knowledge about Mark Helfrich and his career in the state of Oregon. Amal thought he said at the University of Oregon. Amal was confused. I saw it in real time as to whether or not Helfrich played at Oregon. I started talking about something stupid. I saw Amal Shaw Google Mark Helfrich. He got a look on his face like he couldn't wait to talk. He came back to Dustin and said, you're a big idiot. Helfrich didn't play at Oregon. Dustin Sweetelson turned around, double grip on the microphone, veins bulging out of his head, and said, I didn't say he played at Oregon. I said he was a legend in the state of Oregon. Wyatt has the answer. Dustin, would you like to add anything?
No, that is all spot on of how it transpired on the show. You can go back and listen anytime, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Quickly on the double grip of the mic. Look, there are a few things that are dead giveaways that somebody's angry when broadcasting. And I would say double grabbing the mic and pulling it to your grill, that is legit anger. Would you like to defend yourself?
No, I was just doing my best Sky Bree impression. Look it up.
Amal, I don't know if I said it clearly. So we were talking Helfrich. And he said, you thought he said he was a legend at the University of Oregon. And Dustin, what would you like, before you read the answer, what would you like to say you said?
I said that he played in Oregon and he was from Oregon. I never said he played at Oregon.
Before he reads the answer, Amal, your opportunity to let everybody know your end of this argument.
So based on the way he phrased it, it was very strongly implied that he was a duck. Mm. You know, he was an Ahmad Rashad. Exactly. He was a D'Anthony Thomas. By the way, though, I got to tell you, I was a little bit concerned because I saw Dustin's face. Dude, it looked like he'd been hanging upside down for 5 minutes. There was that much blood rushing to his head.
What you're saying is if Mark Helfrich walks like a duck, he talks like a duck.
He is a duck.
Yeah. However, Dustin said, no, he's not. Here's what I'm going to say before you give the answer. I love you, big guy. genuinely consider you one of my best friends. I think you're going to hook us on a technicality here.
I think
I want to be on your side.
The whole thing is a technicality.
God, now you're going to make me defend him, Patrick. He is correct because I was going on a technicality. So if he's correct, it is going to be on a technicality.
Can we look into your personality? Why, when I started talking, always ignore me. That's cool. But when I started talking about Tom Herman, why you went straight to Google to then prove Dustin wrong, and why you got a sinister smile on your face when you found out that you could prove him wrong. Can we go into that a little bit? Can we delve?
You're like an evil cat from a Disney movie, up to no good.
He got a Cheshire grin, and he couldn't wait. By the way, the only people on the planet are us three idiots that cared whether or not Mark Helfrich went to Oregon, or he's from the state of Oregon. Mark Helfrich doing right now?
Broadcasting. By the way, people from Coos Bay are happy that we threw out a Helfrich reference.
I'd like to point out that while we're going back and running the tape, there was a statement from Amal that said I would get his salary.
I don't make much money here. So that's not a problem. I think I got $20.
Take it easy. Easy, big boy.
Look, we talked about my eating. It's expensive, guys.
We've got to get an answer. But I will say this. In the 5 years that Helfrich coached Oregon football, the broadcasters didn't talk about him as much as we have over the last 7 minutes.
That's because he had Mariota. You had a superstar to talk about.
We come to the answer. Did Dustin specifically say that Mark Helfrich was a legend in the state of Oregon or at the University of Oregon? Go ahead.
I was given from the staff three tidbits from when they went back and replayed the clip. I said, quote, they hired Mark Helfrich from their own backyard, born and bred Oregon legend. The next line... prolific career in Oregon. And then I was told from them, I did say in the state of Oregon the third time through.
Judge, can we get a ruling?
By the way, Mark Helfrich was a superstar at Southern Oregon. He was an NAIA All-American quarterback.
Can I give my ruling?
Yes.
Based on the evidence before me, I would say he's been exonerated. I'm going to be honest with you, Malt, going into it. I swear to you, I thought how defensive he got, he completely botched it. Based on what's being reported from Wyatt and the crew downstairs, it does appear exoneration for the big guy. Would you agree? You can chime in as well.
I'll give him that, but I'm definitely going to still file an appeal.
Something's a little off. All I'm going to say is, I think, can I just give my true opinion, Dustin, without you getting mad at me and double gripping the mic?
No, but go ahead.
I think you went into your point about Helfrich 50-50.
No.
I think as you were working through the comment, I think you started driving, you took the fork in the road that went the right way, but my sense is you weren't really sure when you launched into the bragging knowledge about Helfrich.
I knew he didn't play at Oregon, but I knew I worked with Amal Shaw, so I knew I needed to clarify as I kept going with the take that he did not actually play at Oregon. I thought it was a Division II. It turns out it was NAIA All-American quarterback. Here's the thing. I'm going to go after the show and get my first tattoo. You get one of those teardrops because I just killed them all on that.
But the funniest part of the 4 months of this show was nonverbal. It was immediately him burying that honker into his iPad to Google to see if you were wrong. It's all he wanted to do. It's all he wanted to do. His whole life was proving you wrong in that moment.
By the way, I love that he said honker. I mentioned to somebody this morning, I said, I need rhinoplasty. I'd be in pretty good shape if I got a nose job.
I only said it because you said it. I never noticed your nose was big. Yeah. You call it
attention. I don't disagree with that.
It's now a honker.
That's fair enough. I've always said that for years.
Exonerate. Big guy, the last 30 seconds of the show are yours. You're walking out of jail just absolutely crip walking.
I'll be straight with you. I was very concerned about the clip because anytime I think I am certain of anything, I'm usually dead wrong.
I have no clue why you would want to, but we're going to be back tomorrow here on Short Sharp Money. So you might as well join us.